Well, welcome to the Manifest Telecast, everyone from around the world. I certainly appreciate, first of all, those of you that are watching outside of the United States and in some of the great nations of the world. So many wonderful Christians, so many people being reached with the telecast. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. And we always want to remind you to go on our all of our social media to keep up with us. We post new videos on our YouTube channel so many times. And the Manifest Telecast is also available at perrystone.org, etc. So please remember to keep up with us that way. I have a message today that's very, very important, because let me share with you my inspiration for this. I see so many Christians, and not only just my traveling, but the stories that we hear from churches, that are fighting in wars that are absolutely useless battles, wasting their time, distracting them from the purposes of God. There was one individual, and I noticed this individual, all they did was get into political conflicts and conspiracy theories. And, you know, I asked my wife one day, I said, I don't believe, because I know this person, they've ever witnessed about Jesus Christ to anybody. I don't think they've ever won anybody to the Lord in years. And how are they going to stand before God and say, well, all I did was go on blogs and give my opinion, but they never shared the gospel? You know what they're doing? They're fighting battles that are carnal battles that have no future eternal consequences whatsoever. So I'm going to title this, Quit Wasting Your Time in the Wrong War. When we talk about spiritual warfare, I want you to understand that spiritual warfare is designed to affect your spirit. You are a body, you are a soul, and you are a spirit. But real spiritual warfare is to affect your spirit, because it's your spirit where God communicates to your spirit. It's your spirit that the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in your spirit, man. It is your spirit that is the eternal part of you. If you were to die, your soul and spirit depart from your body and goes to be with the presence of the Lord if you are a Christian. And so what I'm saying to you is that real spiritual warfare is something designed to try to affect you inside. And once you're infected in your heart in a negative way, your heart changes. And when your heart changes, every attitude, every way of thinking will change for the negative. So many times, as I said earlier, we are in a battle and we don't understand the kind of battle we're in. Now, if I'm a body and a soul and a spirit, then I will have a satanic attack level in every one of those areas. In other words, my physical attack from Satan is usually a spirit of weakness, a spirit of infirmity, or some type of sickness. And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. It's just like you fight these strange sicknesses. Something comes against you. One of my very dear friends, I'm going to say it this way, the greatest praise and worship leader in the world, Lyndall Cooley, had to have some heart surgery, very sudden. And so it delayed him. So sickness is there to delay or hinder. And it's just there. But your physical attack will be sickness. Your mental attack will be fear and oppression and depression. Those are things that attack the mind. Your spiritual attack, the real attack in your spirit, is to try to get you to sin, to defile your spirit or to corrupt your spirit, which God wants to be perfected in His presence and perfected by His Word. Many battles, there's usually somewhere at some point where there is a battle, which I call a pivotal battle, or it's a battle that absolutely changes a certain situation at a certain time, at a certain place. I know that in my own life, I have noticed that we would be on a roll. We would be moving forward. We would be advancing. We'd be taking the enemy's territory. And we would get hit from what we call the blind side, or sometimes from the backside, with people working behind the scenes. And we would have to, and this is over years. You know, I've been preaching 46 years, so naturally 46 years, you're going to have some battle wounds. But then what would happen is that would come out of nowhere, and it would change the course of things that were planned and things that we felt that God had allowed us to do. There are other times my wife used to say to me, you make the mistake of you get a vision of something and you start talking about it and you haven't thought the vision through. You just seen the vision and it may be years later before God ever lets you do it. You know, manifest was the title. Manifest was given to me in 1988 at a prayer meeting. And I did not go into the Manifest telecast to actually produce it till 12 years later. So a lot of times when you're planning something, you can talk about it prematurely, publicly, and it may not happen till years later. But let's go back to the main point. In the Bible, and you can see this in history, you can see this in the history of battles that have been fought, there is always one pivotal battle that changed the life of the man or the woman of God that was attempting to do the will of God. And I'm going to give these to you very, very quickly. Samson was God's hero, literally destroying the Philistine armies. And one pivotal night with Delilah, there were many nights with her, but one pivotal night literally cost him the anointing and changed his entire life forever. Then there is King David. He fought a bear as a teenager and killed it. He fought a lion as a teenager and killed it. He fought a giant that was probably 10 foot tall as a teenager and decked him, became a national hero overnight. But the pivotal battle with David was not the bear, the lion, the Philistines, or the giant. It was a woman by the name of Bathsheba, and it changed the whole course of his future and how even how people viewed him as king for the rest of his life. Then the third battle, we find out, a pivotal battle, was with Job. Everything is going perfect. You got sheep, goat, camels, oxen, 10 children. They've got all of them, got their own houses. You got property all over the Middle East. And all of a sudden, one battle, one conflict, the Sabaeans, and this is, when I say one, it was all combined as one. The whirlwind hit the house. The Chaldeans came. The Sabaeans came. I mean, everything fell apart. Lightning struck all at one time. I mean, one servant comes and says, guess what happened? Bad news. And when he's finished talking, another one comes. Guess what happened? Bad news. And another one comes. Bad news. Another one comes. I mean, he is struck and he ended up sitting in an ash heap of ashes and scratching boils on his body that produced skin worms with pottery for months and months until he received a divine reversal. The fourth one is the Apostle Paul, who in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 lists 22 things that he had to deal with as an apostle, including danger in traveling, danger of robbers, danger of shipwrecks. I mean, 22 things, beaten with rods, stoned. I mean, this man really was harassed, and he said, I bear in my body the marks of the gospel, and he meant it literally. And so here we have four individuals that there was a battle. Now, the battle with Paul was when the hindering spirit came against him. That's when his whole life began to change. Immediately when that spirit came, his life was different from that point on. And we don't have time to go into that. I have a message, a book I wrote called Dealing with Hindering Spirits. You might want to see if we still have that available. It's a great book. Now, In three of the four instances, Satan himself is directly involved with the attack. And I want to say it again. In three of these four instances that I just named, I named Samson, David, Job, and Paul, Satan is named specifically. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 14, Satan provoked David to number Israel, and it brought a judgment on the nation. In Job chapter 1 and 2, Satan saw the hedge up that was around Job and went before God to have him remove the hedge. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, Paul's hindrance, his whole ministry was hindered, but it was a hindering spirit. And it says that the messenger of Satan, the Greek reads, the angel of Satan, buffeted him continually. And he asked God to remove it three times. And God said, Paul, my grace will be sufficient for you. So in three of the four times, it is Satan who is causing the problem. Now, let's stop for a moment and let's look at something very interesting. Satan is creating the attack. Now track with me on this. Satan is creating the attack. In the boardroom of hell, the enemy has sat down and he has said, we are going to do this and this and this. Now, here's what I want to tell you, which is very important. Without the assistance of human beings on earth, these attacks would not have been effective or would not even have been able to occur. Now, I want you to get this in your spirit, what I'm about to tell you. Satan plotted it, But without human beings, men and women, Satan would never have had the power to create the attack without the assistance of men and women. For example, let me just give you an example here. When Satan attacked Job and the hedge was lifted, the Chaldeans were a tribe that invaded his land and stole animals. The Sabaeans were a tribe that invaded and stole animals. And of course, there was a whirlwind and lightning, two natural disasters. And of course, Satan could have been responsible for that, according to the scriptures I don't have time to get into. But without those nomadic tribes stealing from him, then that attack could not have happened at the level it did. Another example is with the Apostle Paul. There was a hindering spirit, but who is actually hindering Paul? It is people who are against his message. It is magistrates, it's leaders, it's those men who are religious people in the synagogue. And what are they doing? Having him arrested, having him beaten with rods, having him stoned in the city of Lystra. Please understand this. The hindering spirit could only hinder him at a certain level unless the hindering spirit could find someone in order to enact that attack out. Now, if I could interview every pastor watching me right now that is in full-time ministry, I will guarantee you, if you've been in ministry a short time, you may not have dealt with this. You will, trust me. Especially if you preach as long as I have, which is 46 years. Every pastor I know has a story of members inside the church who either led a rebellion, a staff member that caused confusion, a staff member that split the church, it looked like an assistant pastor or a music director, or members in the church that were deacons on the board that half of them weren't even saved in some of these churches. I don't even know how they got on the board. Excuse me for saying that, but it's true. And there are some good board members. I've got some. But in some instances, they were carnal men. They weren't spiritual men. And let me just say this, that every pastor I know has had trouble come from people in the church that was not normal. And if it's not normal, it makes it supernatural. And if it's supernatural, it's either going to come from God or Satan. And God is not the author of confusion. That's a fact. It's in the Bible. So what I'm trying to say is that the attacks that came against these men of God or women of God came from people listening to Satan. The Bible says Satan entered Judas's heart to cause him to betray Christ. Peter looked at Jesus at one instance and said, "You're the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Oh, happy are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. The Spirit of God revealed that to you." And three verses later, he tells Jesus he's not going to be crucified. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." That shows you how fast a person who knows the Lord can say something from God and immediately say something out of their mouth that's completely not of God, and completely carnal and completely fleshly. And Jesus rebuked Peter and said Satan was behind the thought. Now, Satan didn't turn into Peter. Satan didn't enter his heart. He shot a dart into Peter's mind to have him say that. And Jesus said, "Satan, you don't appreciate the things of God. You only appreciate the things of men." And that's the statement Christ made to Peter when he rebuked him. And in these instances, whether it be David, who is provoked to number Israel. A man went out and numbered Israel against the law of God because David told him to. People. And I want to say it this way. I'm going to give you a word. I'm working on a book that to be released sometime in the near future. I'm not going to say anything about it because I'm keeping a lot of it under wraps because the material has to stay under wraps at this point. But I want to say this to you. There was in the Bible, in 1 Kings 11, King Solomon, the Bible says that strange women turned his heart away from God. And what happened was, as a result of him offering his children to Molech, which was an idol, worshiping idol gods, really allowing idol worship in the land, having strange wives, 300 wives, 700 concubines, something like that. I mean, I get the numbers mixed up. That's 1,000 women. I mean, I can't even imagine somebody, I could make a lot of comments about the craziness of King Solomon. I don't even know the purpose was. Marrying the women is to make agreements with all the nations of Egypt and Libya and Syria, and he thought that was a good thing to do. Anyway, the king was not supposed to multiply wives. That's the bottom line, and he broke a law of God. Because of that, God was displeased with him. And it says in 1 Kings chapter 11, and the Lord rose up an adversary against Solomon. And there was Rezon, and there was a man by the name of Hadad. And I'm not going to go into the details of this because it's a fascinating story. And that word adversary in Hebrew is Satan or Satan. Now, there is Satan who is a fallen angel, but there are little Satans who are human beings who do the will of the enemy. And the word Satan in general means an adversary. And that's how it's translated in the King James translation in 1 Kings 11. So God rose up an adversary against Solomon. So here's the thing. People become adversaries. People become enemies. And what happens is Satan is after something. Now you listen to me. Every attack inspired by Satan, he's after something. What was getting the attention of Satan in the four men I just mentioned? What was getting the attention of Satan? Watch this. Satan was after Samson's strength because the whole Philistine nation feared him. Satan was after David's reputation because Satan, the Philistines mocked him the rest of his life, and so did his ex-friends. He had a great reputation as being a warrior from the time he was a teenager. Satan wanted that reputation. Job, it's very clear, Satan even mentions that he's after Job's integrity. Job had great integrity where everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. Men would come from other nations to listen to his conversations. He says this in the book of Job. So in other words, he was after his integrity. And with Paul, it was very simple. Paul was impacting Jews in Jerusalem, many Jewish people coming to the Lord, preaching in the synagogues, and also he was preaching all through Asia among the Gentiles. And the enemy wanted to silence the voice of the Apostle Paul. And also he was getting abundance of revelations. Paul received in the New Testament, he records them, about seven major revelations from God that nobody else received. No one in the Old Testament received it, no apostle. In fact, what we call the rapture revelation, if you don't have my teaching called the rapture revelation, which is 8 hours of teaching plus the Jewish wedding on a DVD. You need to order that because Paul had said the rapture revelation was a revelation given to the Apostle Paul in the very first letter he wrote, which is not Romans because it's not in chronological order. It was 1 Thessalonians, where he talked about being called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Because of the abundance of revelation, Satan wanted to shut his mouth so that he would not be able to receive more revelations and bring the gospel. But God literally gave him the grace to continue despite being beat up, being persecuted. He was lied on. They said he was against the law. He hated Moses' law. That's not true. That was a lie. And so he continued to do the work of God by the grace of God. So here's the thing. Satan is after the same four things in every one of you. He's after your strength. And how does he do it? By removing the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So when you lose your joy, you're going to become spiritually weak. He is after your reputation. How does he destroy your reputation? By gossip, rumors, and slanderous lies. And a lot of people may not have that told on them. And I was in a church a while back. I couldn't believe this. In Kentucky, it's probably about 150 people there in a service on a Saturday night. And I said, how many of you have ever had an absolute lie told on you? Everybody in the church raised their hand. I couldn't believe it. Everybody in the church. So the enemy wants to destroy your reputation, whether you're in ministry or a business, by using lies. How does he destroy your integrity? He destroys it by blaming God, having you blame God for bad stuff that's happened in your life. And then you begin to say, God's not faithful. And anyway, that's another story in itself. It goes back to the book of Job. And then how does he want to affect your voice? By silencing your voice. Now, listen to me very carefully. You're fighting many times in the wrong war. We're fighting people, and we don't understand it's not people, it's the spirit that's behind the problem. In a spiritual war, you fight against spirits. In a life war, you fight against people. In a spirit war, it's a war you cannot see the enemy. In a life war, you can see your enemy. In a spirit war, it impacts your faith. In a life war, it impacts your emotions. In a spiritual war, you fight through prayer, but in a life war, you fight by resisting gossip. In a spirit war, it will make you stronger, but in a life war, it will make you very, very weary. Now, I'm going to give you a nugget here. Number one, In fighting in the wrong war, do not be pulled into other people's offenses. People that are offended and hurt by other people are always gossiping, running their mouth, trying to get you to turn on the person they hate, they don't like, or that they have disparaged in some way. If you take on someone else's offenses, you will take on their demons and you will also take on their spirits. And if they are walking in failure, you will find failure in your own life. It is going to happen because God does not bless belligerents. Number two, you have to be careful of false information that comes to internet sources, paper sources, or whatever, because their design is to make money, and they'll make money on other people's pain and sorrow. So don't repeat information that you have personally not vetted just because somebody told somebody who told somebody who told somebody. What I'm trying to say is this. People sit around and do this, and they create a war, because the Bible says, why is there war and fighting among you? It is because the lust of your flesh, ego, emotional anger, emotional feelings, bad feelings, all of this creates a war that you don't need to be involved in. Our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against the spirit behind it. But God, Satan uses people with the spirit that is behind it. What I'm trying to say to you is quit wasting time on useless information. Quit wasting time on being belligerent toward preachers. I know people that all they do is attack other preachers. Are you kidding me? That's your life? You're going to stand before God and God's going to say, thank you for attacking every minister of the gospel. No, he's going to rebuke you. You won't have a crown in heaven. And honest to God, if you walk in unforgiveness the rest of your life, you're going to end up in hell. And I can prove that from the Bible based on the warnings that Jesus gave. So the thing is, fight the real war and stay away from counter wars that pull you and distract you. Man, I ran out of time. Look at, I had a whole outline and I ran out of time. I guess I spent too much time on just one or two things, but I hope you enjoyed this. And we always have special offers and new offers for you. So please watch this and I'll be back in a moment.
It's time to learn what you don't know about your future. Now available is Perry Stone's new landmark prophetic book, Your Journey into Eternity, Life for the Next 1,000 Years. Discover what occurs the moment your inner eyes are opened at death and your spirit returns to God. Journey through the 3 levels of heaven, including paradise, where Christian martyrs rest. Learn about the new body you will receive at Christ's return or at the resurrection, and why the dead at times appear in dreams, and what memories you have after death. Learn about the marriage supper in heaven from a Hebraic perspective, and what the Bible teaches about the new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem coming down. Perry unlocks the mystery of babies in heaven, including miscarried and aborted infants. Perry also explains what our 1,000-year reign with Christ will look like on earth. Read Perry's parabolic revelation about what if God said yes to the dead? Will your family circle be unbroken in eternity? Perry presents often untaught insights using his 46 years of in-depth biblical research from the Old and New Testaments. The book includes incredible Greek and Hebrew word studies, as well as amazing stories that reveal secrets of life after death, events in heaven, and life on the new earth. Perry is also including an audio teaching, The Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, that his friends say is the most interesting biblical teaching from the book of Revelation he has ever taught. In this teaching, Perry shares secrets in heaven's temple, the most important building in heaven, where all human records and tribulation judgment files are kept. It is here where you will stand at the judgment seat before Christ's throne and give a face-to-face account of what the angels have written about you, from birth to death, including all your idle words and how you treated others. This is a teaching that will alert you to what you say and cause you to guard your words and actions. The landmark new book and 2-hour audio teaching is available for your gift of just $35 or more to help keep Manifest on the air around the world. To order this offer, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You can also order by sending $35 to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer ET143 when ordering. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I hope you're enjoying the teachings that we're presenting to you on the Manifest Telecast. Now, We will be doing some teaching in the fall months concerning breaking addictions with our dear friend, Pastor Tony Scott. We're also going to be sharing with you some a series. It'll be part one, part two, part three of some prophetic teaching, and that's going to come in the future as well. But we want you to know that your financial support through your partnership or just occasional offerings will help continue us to do what we're doing to present so many messages and teachings to you. I'm actually working on several new books, and a brand new DVD on prophecy is getting ready to come out. So there's a lot of things we're working on to help bring more of the word to you. Always remember this, that sometimes on social media, we have to place limitations on how we say things or certain words that we use, or otherwise it creates problems for us. And that's just the culture that we're now in here in the United States. But a lot of times on our other teachings that we do, we call it unleashed and unfiltered. And so we want you to know that as well. Now, this is coming toward the end of the offer, the book and also the two CD album. There'll be a new offer coming up after next week. So please get your book if you haven't got that yet. You can either get the book or the entire offer as well. Real quick, just so you'll know, we're coming back to Alaska Sunday through Thursday, August the 30th. I'm sorry, July 30th through August the 3rd at Saldanha, Alaska, King's Chapel. We're going to be coming over there to Wasilla right after that. And that'll be August the 6th through the 9th. And that's a Sunday through a Wednesday. Then we're coming back to our great church we come to every year, Family Faith Church at the Willis Campus in Willis, Texas, Friday night and Saturday morning and Saturday night. And then Sunday, both services at the church at Huntsville, Texas. Don't forget Huntington, West Virginia, again this year, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, Christ Temple Church there in Huntington. And don't forget also the Gateway Church, Pastor. Now, we've added this. This is one day service only. It's in Russellville, Alabama. Nick McSpadden, a spiritual son of mine, great church there, Gateway Church, Sunday, September the 10th. Then we've added this one, Art Grove, Harvest Art Grove, which is a great church in Oak Grove, Arkansas. I'll get that right. That's a tongue twister. Oak Grove, Arkansas. We're going to be there on Wednesday, September the 20th. And of course, we're coming to San Diego, California for a special service at the Morris Serota Legacy Center, which will be September 20th. Now, perrystone.org is where you can get our itinerary. There's also a major bookstore there and a resource center there. And also where we're going to be preaching. There's so much there. So Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, perrystone.org. Stay in touch with us. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.